All right, so we're going to jump into the thought this morning. It's going to be a continuation of yesterday. Go to Psalm 51:7. We're going to go to a few different references. Psalm 51:7. I appreciate being out here with you this week. By the way, I'm going to need some big guys to help me out in this. Big guys, you got to be big, big, big. You're big. All right. Okay, you're going to help me, JT. Big guy. Give me my muscle friend. Where's my muscle friend out here? You help me out? All right. And who else? I need three. I need more. Right there, right behind you, right there. Right back there. Five. I need two more. Six. JJ. Where we go? Come on, help me now. Just hold on, JJ. I'll call you up in a minute. I need two more big guys. Okay, I'll take you. And I got you already, JT. You're a throw-in automatic. Right there, I'll take you. All right, as soon as I call for you, you come up, all right? Purge me with hyssop, Psalm 51:7. And I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And then now drop down into verse number 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I have given. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God is a broken spirit and a contrite heart, O God, that will not despise. So the thought is this in this Psalm 51, is that if I could sacrifice, I'd do it, but you don't want my sacrifice. You want my heart. You want my spirit. And so most teen camps or most preaching to teens is all about sacrifice and service, but the problem isn't addressed to the core, and that's why I love the theme. The problem is God will not accept the sacrifice of an impure heart. So that is why this theme is so crucial and so vital, so important, because I know you've got desire to serve, but you're not addressing the core problem if your issues are that of impurity, impure heart. And so God wants to make you pure because that would then be the right sacrifice. Otherwise, not the right sacrifice. So the theme is right. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Proper affection is a set affection. That means I ordered it to be so. It is the way I want it to be. I want my affections and I've designed it to be this way. Go over to Colossians where we were yesterday, and I'm going to go ahead and have all those guys that you got to help me up, help me, come on up here for me, all you guys. I'm going to have four of you help me right away and four of you help me in a minute. Okay, just stand four over here and four over here. All right, these four right over here are going to be proper, pure, godly, right affection. These are the wicked, vile, hideous, abominable, filthy, sick, hairy affections. I figured I'd throw that one in there for you, JT. All right? And so we've got the pure affection, impure affection. And remember, you're going to go the direction of your affection. It's one thing to have a pure heart. It's another thing to have pure affections. And so now you're there at Colossians chapter 3. Set your affections in verse 2 on things above, not on things of earth. That means, will you hold my Bible for me? Oh, great. Thank you so much. Right where I can see it, just like that. Act like a podium. There you go. And then in verse number 5, the Bible says, mortify, look at verse 5, mortify your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness. That's some guys over there, them filthy. Oh, no, you guys are the good guys. That's these filthy guys over here. That's those impure affections. That's mortify them. Deny them. Don't let them in your life. Now listen, every one of you have this quality and this quality already in you. The Bible wouldn't tell you to mortify something that you didn't already have. So you've already got the ability to be filthy. Every one of you. Now some of you aren't aware of it because you've never gone that road, and praise the Lord for it. Some of you have gone that road and you know what you're capable of doing. And so you've been here, you've done that, you know that you have the capability of doing it again. So God tells us to mortify that. Now, in verse 5, you're doing such a good job, by the way. In verse 5, it says to mortify uncleanness. And look at the word. Somebody there in Colossians 3, verse number 5. What's the next thing it says about affection? What kind of affection does it say there? Who's got it? What is it? Who said it? Over here. Say it louder. Inordinate. You said it. Very good. Inordinate affection. You know what that is? I'm going to turn the page there. You're doing awesome. That's an unordered affection. That's affection that just kind of developed and it wasn't ordered. God says, set them. That's like God would say, set your house in order. God wants you to set your affections in order. And inordinate affection is just one that kind of developed. It kind of happened. It came along the way. And almost always, the inordinate affection will be this right here. This will be the impure affections, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That all these inordinate affections are what will just naturally develop if you let it. God says, I want you to set affection. I want you to set pure affections on me. Because why? You will go the direction of your what?
Affection.
Give it to me. You will go the direction of your what?
Affection.
A little better now. Direct. You will go the direction of your what?
Affection.
That's what we're looking for right there. And so be responsive with me because I want you, I don't care if I entertain you or you think, or you think I'm funny or not funny. I want you to leave here with something for the rest of your life that'll lock in because listen, the destination of an impure affection is destruction. And the destination of a pure affection is a good life. I mean, it's a life worth living. Now, you've got to tilt it just a little bit like this. Very good, perfect. An inordinate affection is one that just developed. Young people should not just let affections develop. Young people should do the responsible thing by setting an affection in order. Lives have been ruined by the inordinate affection. So these guys are pure affections. You guys come over here for me. Two, one here, one here. This is how powerful affections are. You stand right here. You stand right here, and you guys stand right there, one right there, and one right there. Now, and you face that way. Now, I need one of you guys to grab my leg, brother. There it is, right up there for you. And you got to grab the other leg. I can't give it to you. You got it? You got it? All right, now get ready. I can't get it up there, man. You're going to have to help me, brother. Oh, there we go. Now, take me where we're going, brother. Go on. This is how powerful affections are. You're going to go wherever they want you to go. That's why it's so important that make sure that you get pure affections. All right, take me back, man. Take me back. I can't stay up here much longer. And so these guys are my pure affections. And so I've brought them in my life because I want to go the right way. I've brought in pure affections in my life. Okay, you can put my legs down. Hey, man, that was a lot more work than I thought it was going to be. And so these guys are pure affections. God said, set your affections in order. Bring into your life pure affections because they're going to carry you to pure locations, pure destinations. So set your affections in order. That's what it means to set an affection in order. So it's one thing to have a pure heart. You can get that. Some of you trusted Christ as your Savior last night. And in one prayer, you gained a pure heart. But what you're going to find out is you're still going to have to do the hard thing of setting your affections in order, pure affections. Pure affections would be, I am going to decide to have the affection of loving the things of God. I'm going to decide of having the affection for my parents. Oh, no, I shouldn't love my parents. No. You've got to love your parents. You've got to. Why? Because if you hate your parents, you are inviting into your life an impure affection. And when you do that, you're going to have the battle pulling. You're going to have someone who's not pulling their weight in the affection. They're trying to draw you away into an impure location. So it is very important that you say, no, I am going to, even if I don't have good parents on all levels, I am going to decide to examine the things that are good and love them for that. And so you bring into your life a pure affection. I'm going to love my preacher. Listen, my pastor was Brother Carter. I love my pastor. My pastor has, in no uncertain terms, Brother Matt, dogged me out, man. I mean, I have been dressed down by Dr. Carter. And up one side and down the other. And the devil tried to get in there and say, hey, you shouldn't like him. He talked to you wrong. He shouldn't have called you down. I remember one time I was sitting in the back over here in church service, and I turned my back to the pulpit during the song service, and I started talking to the guy behind me. I'm just having a good conversation during the song service. And I noticed that the fellow I was talking to, eyes went about this big around. And I thought, I don't know what's behind me, but it's got to be a whole lot bigger than I am. And I turned around, and there's Dr. Carter, left the pulpit, come down, and he's staring me right in the eyeballs. And I turned around, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I have never seen this so close before. He found the meanest, nastiest, smelliest old man and said, I need you to come with me, and brought him over and sat him right beside me the whole service long. And I stewed the whole service long, think, I can't believe that. I mean, what did he do that for? And herein, the devil tries to say, you need to hate your pastor. You need to hate the preacher. And you need to get mad about this and get mad about that. But by doing it, you're going to exchange an affection, and you're going to exchange a pure... You got to move, brother. Oh, okay. You're going to exchange a pure affection for an impure affection. And JT comes along, and he represents an impure affection. And now you've got hatred in your life. It's an inordinate affection. It just developed because I refused to forgive the action of a parent or the action of a pastor or the action of a friend. And I've invited in my life anger. And so then I've exchanged out a purity for an impurity. And then I move off this pure affection. And I decide the fact that, you know what, I cannot forgive so-and-so for this and that. And I've decided that I'm just going to run with this. Hey, maybe it's a good-looking boy. And I just think, boy, he's so cute. Hootsie wootsie, he wears pink flower shorts. And I just think he's adorable. And I invite an affection for somebody who's not a pure boy. That is in his heart. He's not pure. He's impure. He doesn't love the Lord. And I've invited that in my life. And in comes another impure affection. Now, what's going to happen if I count on my affections to do a carrying? I'm counting on these two to go forward, but these two are going to be going backward. That puts me in kind of a painful spot. Especially if this guy wants to go that way and this guy wants to go that way. Brother, I'm a human wishbone at that point in time. It's not good. That's why God said it is so important. You guys go back over there. I'll use you again in just a second. My pure affections come back on. That is why God said it is absolutely crucial that you set your affections, don't have inordinate affections. Now, I want to show you the process the devil uses here. You're going to have to go to another reference here. I'm going to cook along here. James chapter number 1. Hebrews right in the New Testament center, and then go right next to it. You got James. James chapter number 1. No reading ahead. That's cheating. You can't do that. I got saved right away. I knew I had a clean heart, and the thrill was that experience. But I knew also right away I still had the old appetites. I still had the old affections, and I knew it was going to take an action on my part to keep this. The devil knows something about you and me. He knows that we have this battle. He knows that we have the ability to have impure affections. And remember, if God says set your affections on me, it's because he knows where you'll go, the direction of your affection. He knows that'll work out just fine. The devil knows the opposite. If I can get their affection, then I can get their direction. If I can get their direction, then I'll get their final destination. And he's after that. You see, sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. And so there's an ulterior motive, and it's the end destination. I want this life destroyed. And so he comes after your affections. James chapter number 1. Are you there? Good. James chapter number 1. The Bible says in verse number 13 of James chapter number 1, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So you see the progression here. So here's what happened when I got saved. Stay with me. Here's what happened. When I got saved, I was a wicked boy. Matter of fact, why don't you guys go over here and surround me around wickedness over here. And so I had wicked affections. I hated my parents. I literally did. I hated my pastor. I did that too. I loved the lust of the flesh. And I satisfied my fleshly appetites. And I was surrounded by this. And in some cases, I didn't like it. In most cases, I wasn't happy with it, but I was traveling with these guys. And these guys were taking me places, quite honestly, I didn't want to go. And what the problem was that I had no ability to stop them. They had developed, they had come to the place that they were now powerful in my life and influential in my life, and I couldn't stop it. I went where they wanted me to go. And so can I count you guys? Yeah? All right, here we go. And so, there it is. All right, brother, there it is. And so I went where these guys took me. Now take me, bro. And so they took me places I didn't want to go. And the preacher said, don't go. And I said, I can't help it. I go where they tell me to go. The preacher said, don't look. And I said, I can't help it. I don't want to look, but they tell me to look, and I look. The preacher said, don't read that. The preacher said, don't say that. And on it goes. Okay, you can take me back now. And on it goes, but I could not stop, as many of you cannot stop, because your affections are impure. All right, you can put my legs down. And so I'm caught in the middle of this trap. Now, praise the Lord, down inside of all this nastiness, the message came forth, because I had inability to stop this. My heart is impure. My affections were impure. And when the Lord when I trusted the Lord as my Savior, I became pure, but I still had this problem. I had impure affections. This guy still was very strong. These guys are all four. I picked out strong guys. These guys are all strong. These four guys were strong. Very strong. And immediately I knew just how strong they were. And it was amazing how crafty affections can work. Because as I said yesterday, and keep in mind it's all building, all it takes is for me to think about this thing right here. I think about the impure affections and maybe morally. And when I start to think about that, this guy's getting stronger and stronger and stronger, and he's building more and more strength. And then I'm going to say, don't take me there. And he's going to take me there because I don't have the strength to stop him. And so he gets me to have stronger impure. And I found out real quick, I better set things in order. So this guy being very strong, and these guys at this time were not so strong. But this guy says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look on her and lust in your heart after her. And I said to myself, well, I want to. That's what I know to do. And he says, then do it. And I say, no, I'm not going to do it. And so I decide I'm not going to feed you. And I bring you in. And I got him in my life. And this is a pure affection. He was impure. He's pure. And I bring him into my life, and I say, dear God, I am going to exchange that impure, lustful appetite for a purity. I'm going to pray, God, right now, God, give me strength to control my mind, control my eyes. I'm not going to look. I'm not going to build that strength. I just exchanged impurity for purity. I have just set my affections in order. The inordinate affection would be run with it, go with it. If it feels good, do it. If it looks good, look at it. If that's not satisfying you, touch it. If that's not satisfying, go further and keep satisfying. But what you're doing is you are building affections that are impure, and they're getting stronger and stronger. That's why these filthy, perverted pedophiles and such things as that cannot stop. They go into jail, and they'll sit in there for 10 years and come out in the first opportunity. They'll hit it again. Why? Because their affections are so strong, they don't want to do what they do, but their affections are in charge now. That is why it is so crucial that God says you need to set this in order. James says there's a progression. Every man's tempted when he's drawn away. Let me go back with my impurity. So I've got this impure surrounding. I am now in a place that I know that God is faithful. God, you all right? You hanging in there? All right, good. God is able to, and so I'm starving these guys out. He says, look, I say, I ain't looking. I know where everything's located at. I don't have to look to know and be sure that it's there. I'm not looking. This guy says, think. I said, no, I'm not thinking. This guy says, hey, he brings in some influences to try to get me to think. No, I'm not doing it. And so the friends that I have begin to influence the affections that I have, so I drop the friends. Quite frankly, I got saved. My friends, I exchanged. My peer group became 35, 40-year-old men because they were understanding. And so I dropped it, starved them out. Suddenly, these guys got weaker.
These guys got stronger to the place that you guys can stand over here. That as a youth, I got to the place. Hey, I got saved right on the spot. My heart got clean in one prayer. But in a year, about a year, it took about a year, I got surrounded around pure affections. And I'm telling you, at this point in time, the battle was no longer not to do wrong. It was not a struggle. Hang with me, man. It's all right. I know you're a little short on air there. But the battle was the devil now had the stronghold of purity. Man, that's a thrilling place to get to, but you won't get there overnight. So here I am now surrounded by pure affections that are taking me to the right locations. Now, here's what the devil's approach to it is. I'm inside of there. The devil's out here. James chapter 1 plays it all out for you. He analyzes the situation and he looks around. He thinks, we got a pure affection over here. We got a pure affection over here. Can't get to him there. He is on the course. His affections are going to take him right where he wants to go. Well, let's study this, guys. And he gets his demonic entourage and he says, we're going to have to get this guy. So he's not temptable right now. I can come in here. He loves his parents, so I can't work at him from this direction. I come over here and I try to attract his attention with a young, beautiful, attractive, young, worldly lady, and that's not working for him. And so I try over here, and that's not working for him. And I try to come in the rear end over here. That's not working for him. And so he's fully protected. So the devil says, what we've got to do is draw him away. We've got every man is tempted of his own lusts, not mine. My lust won't tempt you. Your lust won't tempt me. The devil is making a study of you, and he's finding out what does work. So he comes in here, and he says, watch him very closely. And then comes in somebody, maybe it's popularity. Maybe it's the in crowd. And this young boy who I was in this group, where's Elizabeth and I, as I said, went to school together, so she knows a lot of the before me and the after me. Please don't say anything about before me. I appreciate that. But the battle sometimes that she didn't know, I remember being in this place, and I was so alone. I was so lonely. I remember sitting in my truck, and the football game was over, and all the kids from my crowd were jumping in their vehicles, and they were talking about what they were going to do. They were talking about where they were going to go. And I remember standing there, and I prayed, and I said, God, if they ask me tonight, I don't care what they're doing, I don't care where they're going, I'm in. I'm so lonely. So the devil looks at that. He says, look at him. He misses, he's not wanting to go back to the wild women or the drinking or the drugs or stuff. He wants to be in again. Okay, let's do that. Let's work at that angle. So he starts to begin to influence the strong Christian, the pure Christian, to try to draw him away. So he comes along and he says to me while I'm in here, hey, listen, you don't have to do anything wrong. You don't have to go anyplace. You don't have to drink. You don't have to smoke. You don't have to carry on. But I got an opportunity for you. I can offer you popularity and exchange. There's nothing. You don't have to worry about it. So all of a sudden, I start making compromises. And I say, boy, you know, that felt really good. And you know what's happening is I'm holding back from him. And I'm coming over here. And I'm feeding one of these guys. And I'm saying, you know what? I just want to be in. I'm feeding an impure affection that is just waiting on the wings. And when he comes in, he says, guys, I'll talk to you in a minute. He comes in and he starts to work his magic, drawing, the devil's drawing of his own lusts. And he's working and getting stronger, and now I'm thinking more and more, and now I'm starting to exercise more and more. This guy over here, I'm beginning to say, you know what? I've served God. I've sacrificed God. Couldn't God have just given me one friend that I could have went to school with that would have stood by me, and we could have had another male friend that we could have had a common bond? There was other people that got saved out here with me that very night, and they didn't want nothing to do with me. God, you know what? This really stinks. What am I doing? I'm doing this. Time to do some curls, buddy. Get stronger. Get stronger. I'm thinking about him. I'm working him. And I'm not thinking about him. Where God says over here, hey, in everything give thanks. Hey, this is the will of God. Praise the Lord. Find something to praise God about. Here I am. I'm working him. He exchanges out, and I've got an impure affection. Strong. I'm still song leading. I'm still soul winning. I'm still okay with parents. But these guys never come alone. They start now working to get their friend in. They start working to get a friend in. And now all of a sudden, then they work in, exchange one more friend. Now I'm right back where I was. Now here's what it is. Now I do have an appetite for that wicked woman. Now I do have an appetite for the old life. Now I do have the affections have surrounded me, and now I am impure. Now I have impure affections. Now I am being taken to places I don't really want to go. I can remember struggling, going through different times like this because I didn't know exactly what was going on. And I'm telling you what, I know that many of you are right here. And you're wondering, why do I do these things? Why do I think these things? The devil's made a study of you. And you're a pretty good kid. You're squared away. But he watched your eyes. He said, look at him. Look at him. Look the way he looks at that girl. This guy. He's not omnipotent and omniscient. He can't see like God sees. But he makes a study of who you are. Watch him. Watch him right there. He wants that pretty girl. This guy's got a lustful problem. All right, let's get a pretty girl over there. And then he says, think about her. Exercise that thought. Think about her. Put it in your mind. Lock it down. He used music. He'll use music to stir your thoughts. I mean, driving down the road. Man, there I am driving down the road thinking everything's fine. All of a sudden, I'm humming away some good old 70s classic song. What I used to like to listen to. And all of a sudden, I'm right back in the whole arena. I'm absolutely drunk as a skunk. I'm partying. I'm carrying on in my mind. And you know what's happening? These old friends are starting to come back of impure affection. And just one song has stirred me to the place of a impure affection. And so God says, starve them. Starve them out. Bring in the purity of affection, pure affection, because you're going to go the direction of your affection. That's key. Let me just wrap it up. Thanks, guys. You guys can be seated. Thank you so much for your help. Let me just wrap it up and try to tie it all together for you. Thanks. I can even hold my own Bible now. Tie it all together for you here. There's a verse over there in the Word of God that says, there's no temptation taking you such as common man, but God is faithful, who will suffer you. If tempted, it's you're above it, you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. Oftentimes, here's what happens. We're like blowing a hole in the bottom of the boat and saying, God, don't let this boat sink. That's not what God does. God does not do that. God says, hey, dummy, don't shoot a hole in the boat. You know, God says, listen, God does not deliver you from the power of temptation. He delivers you from the presence of temptation. So he says, stop. Analyze your affections. Look at me. He says, analyze your affections and exchange them for pure affections. Don't you go with that girl. Don't you go with that boy. Don't you wait until the fact that you are now in the power of temptation. Don't you wait till you've moved to the place that you're starting a touchy-feely game. Don't you wait too long, friend. Because now things are set in motion and the devil has got you carried about. He's just carrying you like a little puppy dog, waiting for the best and opportune time to throw you down and destroy your life in pieces when it had the greatest effect on those who call you good. That is why it is absolutely crucial that God says that you set your affections in order. I went to a meeting some time ago out of respect for somebody that was in a particular business. And here's the way it went. I sat out there. Here's the way it went. The guy stood up, good guy. He stands up. He says, listen, everybody, I want everybody's attention right up here. He says that he's got wow factor. He's got snazz. He's got lights. He says, everybody. Somebody looking right up here. Here's what I want you to know right here. You've got the bottom line opportunity right here, the chance of a lifetime. He said, here's the thing. You're going to be filthy rich. I make blah, 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 blah. And I've been doing this blah, 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 blah. And he says, and you're going to make blah, 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 blah. And you're going to be filthy rich, more money than you know what to do with. You'll be able to have boats and toys and cars and all this other stuff. And he carried on like that. And everybody, and you can start to see everybody gathering. Woo, ah, wow, ooh, ah. And I'm out there and I'm listening. And I didn't say anything, but afterwards he comes over to me and he says, what do you think? And I happened to pastor this guy. And I said, well, here's the thing. Nothing wrong with your business. Nothing wrong with what you're doing. But I want to tell you what I think is wrong. You are appealing. I said, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I want to be rich. If I have a weakness, it's right there. I said, if I got some, right there, I sometimes get tired of not having anything. You know, I have lost 45 pounds and I still got pants that I got to hold up. I take this belt off, I have to walk around like this. You know, why? I can't afford a stinking pair of pants. That's why. And I got suits that hang on me. I look like Gumby. I mean, it's frustrating, but I can't afford a stinking suit. I'd like to have a little extra money. I'd like to have. And I said, you are making an appeal to me. But the appeal is that I would bring an inordinate affection in my life and fall in love with money. And I said, I know you don't mean to do that, but that's what you're doing. But I know where that affection will take me. I'll fall in love with money. I'll lose my family. I'll lose my love for God. I'll lose my church. I'll lose my influence, because one affection, impure affection, will invite another impure affection, will invite another impure affection. And before long, I am owned, totally under the control of an impure affections. You say, that's too wild. No, it's not wild enough. Listen, it's not wild enough. I got saved. I analyzed. Here, I'm trusting you with some real gritty information here. I analyzed my life when I was your age, because I knew. I've always been over analytical. I knew I'm going to mess up. I'm going to blow it big time. I have addictions. I have issues. I thought, I am going to mess up. I analyzed my life to find out what stirred impure affections. I didn't watch, I don't think, a TV program for a year. That's crazy. And my parents thought it was crazy too. By the way, I pastor my parents now. But at the time, they thought I was a lunatic. I removed the radio from my car. I removed the ungodly friendships and relationships that I had. I wouldn't listen to a song that stirred. I wouldn't go to listen to a preacher that was going to preach about rock music, because I knew what he would do. He'd play it. He'd sing it. And I'd be out there reminiscing, and I would be all back in the whole spirit again. I made a study. You know why? Because the devil was making a study of me. And he was finding out things about me that I felt like I better get there first and find out what makes me tick. And I starved that affection, impure affection, and I fed constantly pure affection. When the devil said, look, I didn't look, I turned to the Word of God. When the devil said, go, I didn't go, I went out to my prayer closet. When the devil said, and I did those things not because I was somebody that was great, I did those things because I was somebody that was absolutely wicked and vile and knew it. I was impure. And so listen to me. Exchange them out. Starve them. Bring in pure affection into your life. Starve out impure affection, and you will find that you'll be untemptable. The devil won't have the opportunity. God will provide your way of escape before he even puts it before you, because you won't have the appetite to do those things. I know this is really deep. I know it is. It's really hard to grasp. But man, I'm telling you, if you can exchange and bring in pure affection, you will find yourself going the direction of a pure affection, and you will love the destination. You go the direction of an impure affection, and you will hate your life and feel trapped in it. That's all. I'm going to wrap up with that. Thanks, Brother Matt.